Well, Happy New Year. You guys excited about 2011? You don't sound very excited at all, I'll be honest with you. Right? 2011. Can you believe it's 2011? I'm shocked, right? And the more I think about it, the more shocked I am. I remember being in Times Square and watching the countdown to the year 2000. And I cannot believe that was 11 years ago, right? I mean, that was like this huge deal. I can't believe it was 11 years ago. And for me, New Year's is always an interesting time of the year because at New Year's, I usually work through two questions. And the first question is kind of looking back like, okay, well, how did this last year go, right? Did it work out the way that I hoped it would work out? Did I see happen what I had hoped I would see happen? And so I usually take a little bit of time and kind of reflect back and kind of look at how things played out and everything that happened throughout my past year. I don't know if you guys ever do that. For me, that can be really an either exciting time or a really depressing time. And to be honest with you, there were several years where, I mean, New Year's was a really, really hard time for me because I took this time and I looked back at that year and it wasn't at all what I had hoped it would be. And I wasn't moving forward. It seemed like I was moving backwards. And a lot of what I wanted to see happen in my life just wasn't happening. And so sometimes, and for me, there were a lot of years where this was a really, really hard time. Because I looked back and it just didn't play out the way I'd hoped that it would play out. But this year, to be honest, this year has been awesome. This past New Year's, as I look back, it was so exciting. And I looked back and saw everything that God's been doing and teaching me and walking me through. And I was really, really excited. And for a lot of you, that's true for you as you look back on this last year. Because for a lot of you, you've come to know God maybe for the first time. And so God's doing these crazy things in your life. Or for some of you, you've kind of gone back to what it means to actually follow God and to actually obey and to kind of walk behind Him and let Him lead and guide you. And so God's beginning to do these awesome things in your life. And you're beginning to find out that life doesn't have to be as dramatic and as traumatic as you thought it was. And you're beginning to realize that when you make certain decisions, it leads you to certain outcomes. And if you make other decisions, it leads you to really bad outcomes. And so you're beginning to make better decisions, and you're seeing God lead you to really great things. But for others of you, you associate more with those depressing years. And you look back on this year, and maybe it was because of decisions that you made, or maybe it was because of decisions that the people around you made, but this wasn't the best year of your life. As a matter of fact, for some of you, you may look back and it was anything but the best year. It may have actually been the worst year. And as you look at this past year and as you look towards this future year, you're just hoping that it's not the same. And every year I take that time to look back, and then every year I'll begin to look forward and say, okay, well, what do I want this next year to look like? A lot of us do this, right? What do I want to see happen over this next year? This is where we begin to make resolutions, right? Because we begin to put a plan in place for how we want this next year to be different. And we're not just going to go into this year and expect it to be different without a plan. So we begin to, you know, write a few things down, and they usually begin with our physical, like, being, right? Most resolutions that I hear people share have to do with like a gym. Those last for about a week, maybe 2 weeks at tops. But there's all these different things that we begin to put in place where we say, okay, this is how I want this next year to be better. And every year I do this. And again, this year I sat down and I looked at, okay, well, what do I want to see happen in this next year? And there are a lot of things that drive that. There's this discontent with the way that things are, and there's something inside of me that says, you know what, things aren't exactly the way that they're supposed to be, and things could be better. This hope and this idea that, you know what, life could actually be better than what it is. And I think a lot of us feel that, and that's kind of what drives us, but teamed with that, there's something that personally drives me. There's something that I believe about who God is and what God is all about that drives me. Because you see, I believe that the reason Jesus Christ died was so that my life would be better. I believe that Jesus Christ didn't just come to give me eternal life, but that Jesus Christ came to give me life, presently and eternally. And that the whole cross and everything that's about, this restoration process that Jesus Christ is beginning in me and through me, is all about things getting better. And that as I look at this next year, if I'm going to take advantage of what Jesus Christ is doing in me and around me, then life is going to get better. John Piper says it this way. He says, God is most glorified when I am most satisfied in him. And this idea that when Jesus Christ gave his life for you, he says, there are things that I'm going to bring into your life. There are things that are going to be the result of my spirit in your life that are going to change you. And it's going to bring about this fruit, like love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and humility. And I believe that life should get better. And that this message of Jesus Christ is about things being restored, things getting better. And as you pick up this book, I believe over and over and over again, Jesus Christ and God is communicating through his word this dream of what can be, of what's possible. And I believe he does it all throughout the Bible, but there's one place in particular where he paints this picture for us that every single year I come back to. And I've brought us to this passage before, but I want to bring us back to this passage as we begin this year, because I want you to grab a hold of this dream. And as you look at 2011, I want this to be your dream. Because I believe that this is God's dream for you. And the picture is found at the beginning of Psalms. This dream is found at the beginning of the book of Psalms. And as God is working through the psalmist, and as he's about to lay out this book that's going to celebrate who God is, this relationship that we have with God, he chooses one psalm in particular to start the whole thing off. And in this psalm, he puts this little picture. And I believe that what he's saying to all of us as a reader, he's saying, listen, I want you to grab a hold of this picture, because this picture is what the rest of this book is all about. It's about you and how you can begin to experience this in God and how it will begin to change who you are. It's found in Psalm chapter 1. I want to read it to you now. It starts off in verse 1, the very beginning of the book. This is how he starts us off. He says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. I just close your eyes with me for a second, would you? I know some of you are like totally freaked out, right? But just appease me for one second. Just close your eyes. I want you to picture this solid tree planted beside a riverbank, right? If you're like me and you grew up kind of the way I grew up, that tree, if there's a tree by a riverbank, I believe that there should be a rope swing on that sucker. Right? Like going out over the water so that you can swing out on it, right? And drop off into that river. It's just this beautiful thing. Now I want you to picture it like just fully in bloom, right? Like the every leaf in place, totally full. This is the way the psalmist, this is the way God wants you to begin this book. You can open your eyes now. I know some of you just want to stay there. You're like, oh. It would be great to get away from this snow, right? but as the psalmist starts off this book, he says, listen, I want to place this picture, this dream in your head. And I believe that over and over again throughout the scriptures, God is giving you this dream that, listen, this can be what your life looks like. That you would be like a tree that's solidly planted by streams of water. That every season bears fruit. That the leaves never wither. Is that what your life looks like? It's not what my life looks like. At least not this past year. But yet God steps into every one of our lives and he says, listen, this is what's possible. I want you to know this is what's possible. And there are a couple things that you need to understand about the passage, because it's really easy to kind of misunderstand this passage, especially when he gets to the point where he says, and they prosper in all that they do, because it's really easy for us to confuse that word prosper. And so you begin to think that prosper is the same as prosperity, that this dream is that, okay, I will finally get everything that I ever wanted. This dream that God's laying out for you, and what the psalmist is talking about here, is not that, okay, you're gonna be prosperous, where you're going to have an abundance and all this wealth, and you're finally going to get that house that you always wanted this next year. You're finally going to get that raise. That's not what he's talking about. Because as you continue to read through the Psalms, you begin to realize that when he talks about this word prosper, it has a lot more to do with what happens internally than what happens externally. I mean, that's what the picture is all about, right? Because it doesn't say that there's this tree that the sun constantly shines on, that there's this tree that it's always summer around it. That's not what he says. He says there's this tree that goes through all these different seasons. The tree still experiences winter. It goes through all of these different seasons. There are all these things that happen externally. But yet internally, the tree never changes. Internally, the tree is solid, confident, secure. You see, this tree is different. This tree isn't affected by what happens externally. You see, this is a picture of someone who can walk through every season, who can walk through every circumstance. This is someone who can walk through 2011, and the truth is, it doesn't actually matter what happens externally. Because internally, they're solid. And so it doesn't matter what they're going to encounter, they're still going to be fruitful. It doesn't matter what circumstances come their way this next year, because they're still going to have leaves, and their leaf will never wither. I don't think it's a mistake that God uses this psalm that has this picture where there's this river that runs by it. I mean, God knows full well that there's going to be this picture, this imagery that's used with Jesus Christ of living water, right? And so he gives us this picture of, he says, listen, you can be like this tree, right? But this tree gets all of its nutrients, everything it needs to survive from this river. It's amazing how close this picture is to the picture that Jesus Christ gives us of you and of me. When he talks about the vine and the branches. Because Jesus says, listen, if you connect to me, if you continue to draw all of your life from me, he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And your whole life, everything you experience in life, all of the joy and the peace and the love, it all flows from me to you. It's what sustains you. It's what fills you. And in this picture, it's exactly the same. You see this incredibly strong tree, this beautiful tree. And it's just soaking that life from that river. It's just taking in everything that it can. Paul uses this imagery as well in the book of Ephesians. And he says it this way. He says, then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We won't be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. He refers back to this idea of being a tree, and he says, listen, you can either be, as you walk through this life, kind of like this piece of grass that's just blown back and forth by every single wind, or you can become solid, where it no longer matters what winds blow around you. It no longer matters what circumstances you find yourself in the midst of. You're still solid. And you're still thriving. Is that what your life looks like? As you look towards this next year, is that what you want your life to look like? As you look at 2011, I want you to very clearly hear God saying this to you. As you begin and you look at the beginning of Psalms, that this is possible. Listen to it again. Psalms 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. If you can have that in 2011, do you want it? I don't think there are many of us that would say no. As we begin this year, we're starting off a new conversation called Healthy. And throughout the next 3 weeks, we're going to be working through four different steps that God gives us to work our way towards this reality. Four different disciplines or habits that we can begin to build into our lives that will drastically change the way we react, that will drastically change the way our lives shift when we find ourselves in blowing winds, when we find ourselves in all these different seasons. And I'm telling you, this can become a reality for you. It's not going to happen this next year. I'm not going to lie to you. Because this is a process. You don't go from being a piece of grass to this giant tree in 1 year. But you can take a few steps closer. You can get a little closer. And with every step in this direction, we will experience more and more and more of our God. And as that increases, so will that fruit of love and joy and peace and patience and goodness. As we go throughout the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about these different disciplines, and some of them are going to shock you. Some of you are going to look at me and say, there's no way I can do that. There is no way I can put that into practice. But these are things that I guarantee you will change your life. And some of them are going to shock you. Some of them we're going to have talked about a lot. As a matter of fact, the one that I want to give you today is one that we've talked about over and over and over again. And so I decided to include it here with the introduction because, one, it's probably the most foundational of all the steps. And two, I don't really have to explain to you that much why it's important. And this morning, what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you to join me in reading through the Bible this next year. Every single one of you. Our goal here at Hoboken Grace is to have 100 people who read through the Bible this next year. Because when we look at Psalms 1, what is it that he says is true about this person who's planted by this riverbank? What is it that he says that he gives you as a defining characteristic? But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. When the Bible says the law of the Lord, they're talking about the Bible. It's talking about God's word, right? And so as we begin this, the first step that I'm inviting you on is to join us in reading through the Bible in 1 year. On the resource table, we've got a couple of these one-year Bibles. You can also get them at Amazon. You can get them at basically any bookstore. They're really popular. And what this does is it goes through every single day. It gives you a piece of the Old Testament, a piece of the New Testament. It also gives you a piece of the Psalms and a proverb every single day for you to begin reading through. And our goal is that at the end of 2011, we would have at least 100 people inside of Hoboken Grace that can say, I meditated on his law day and night. Where we don't just hear about this, we don't just get together and talk about this, but where we actually do this. For others of you, maybe this doesn't work out quite as well. And so what we've done is yesterday we launched a blog here at Hoboken Grace called the Bible Reading Plan. And this blog you can subscribe to by RSS or through your email. And every single day you'll get an email with that day's reading. It'll come at about 5 a.m. And that day it'll email it right to you. You can read through your reading for the day. Well, however it works out best for you, this whole thing is about making you as successful as possible at living out what we see in Psalms chapter 1. At taking in God's word and just meditating, allowing it to be a part of who we are, soaking in that water from the river. And so the first step that I want to invite you to engage with me on is that we go read through the Bible every single day as we go throughout this next year. Now the problem with that is, today is January 2nd. And for some of you, that will give you that's going to be really hard for you. But you see, this is the thing, because I thought about this before we launched this, and as I was thinking through how we're going to do this, right, I thought, well, maybe I should email out and like let everybody know like 2 weeks ago that we were going to start this on January 1st, and then everybody could have access to it. They could start on January 1st, we would be right on track with January 2nd, and we would be great throughout the entire year. But you know what I realized? For those of you who are perfectionists, like me, you needed to fail right off the bat. And I was like, no, I'm going to tell them on January 2nd. That way the whole idea that they'll be perfect this year is just done. It's just over. Because guess what? You're not going to be perfect the rest of the year either. And for some of you, you would get started and the first time you missed, you'd give up. But that's not what this is about. It's not about checking something off a list. It's not about perfectly completing something. This is about soaking in that water. This is about looking at our God and our Father and realizing that He has something beautiful for us. And saying, okay, God, I'm going to give it everything that I got this next year. And I realize that I'm broken and you're okay with that. But as much as I possibly can, I'm going to soak in that water. I'm going to take you in over and over and over again. Because I want you. And you've told me that that can be a reality. And you've told me that this year doesn't have to be a year where I'm tossed here and there by the circumstances around me. And you've told me that you can make me this person. And so I'm all in. This morning I want to invite you to begin that journey with us. And you don't have to go online to sign up via the email. On your cards right there, on your connection cards, there's a little box. You can just check that. Make sure we have your email address. We'll get that emailed out to you. Tonight, I'm going to email out to the entire church the blog location so that you can go visit that. If you're kind of a blog reader person, you can go there and sign up, and it'll show up in your reader every day, and you'll be good to go with that. Otherwise, you can go back there and pick up one of these Bibles. We ordered, I think, about 20 or 30 of these. We didn't order a ton of them because we thought a lot more people will probably do it electronically. If we sell out of these, we'll have more of them next week for you to be able to pick up and read through it if you want to be able to do it that way. Also, if you want to be able to read through it, if you want to just be able to read through it inside your own Bible and you want a breakdown of it, that'll be posted online for you to be able to just kind of have a printout of what that reading looks like every day. The reason that we want to be, some of you say, well, why can't I just kind of do it my own way? You can, that's great. But the reason that we want a lot of us to be able to read through these things together is that we're in dinner groups together. And so as you read through this, there are going to be times where you're going to be reading something and you're like, I don't understand this. I don't understand why God works this way. I don't understand why God operates this way. I don't understand what God's trying to say here. And you'll be able to take that into those dinner groups, and you're going to be sitting around the circle with people who are reading the exact same thing you're reading. And you'll be able to bring those questions to that group and be able to work through those things together, as well as what we're working through here on Sunday. And so that's why, as much as possible, we want as many people as possible reading through the exact same thing together throughout this next year. We want to be intentional about our growth. We don't want to just hope that it happens. We want to be intentional. And so that's what this is all about. And that's what this next series is all about. And we're going to be talking about how God interacts with us, not just for our eternal life, but for our life. And we're going to be looking at how he interacts with our physical being and our emotional being and our spiritual being. And these steps that we're going to take are going to affect every single area of who we are. Here's the deal, guys. And as I prepared for this, I wasn't sure if I was going to say this, but the more I interacted with God about this passage, the more I became convinced of this. This year can be the best year of your life. This year can be the best year you have ever been alive. And it will not have anything to do with what happens externally. It'll have everything to do what happens internally. But God's promise to you is that this year can be the best year of your life. Will you pray with me? Father, as we move through this, it's unbelievable to think that the truth is you've already taken care of everything we need. It's unbelievable to realize that what we need for this to happen, for this to become a reality, what we see here in Psalms chapter 1, you've taken care of it. And that this entire next year is about soaking you in. And that all of our strength, all of our ability to be able to continue to thrive in the midst of these circumstances, it's all based around this idea that we're just soaking you in. And so, Father, as we move forward together as a church, we want to make this commitment in 2011 to soak you in, to take your word and to bring it into our lives on a consistent basis throughout this year. Father, we love you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.